Hello and welcome to episode 6 of Allen & Fowles Norwich City Football Club We Meet Again series. Yeah, the episodes are flying along, aren't they? We're getting three of them at quite a quick pace.
Rate of knots. Puckaby-like.
Yeah, we still haven't hit the big time. We were dreaming about massive sponsors and maybe recording this on location. We sort of considered Sydney, didn't we?
The dreamer still lives. You never know where this might take us in 18 months' time.
Yeah. At the moment, it's taken us to Fowles' lovely house on the Norfolk-Suffolk border.
Most beautiful part of the world.
It is. We can't complain. And, you know, maybe one day we'll have a few celebrity guests here. Yeah, it's just us two at the moment.
Just us two. I mean, my sister's next door, who's a fellow season ticket holder. So does she count as a celebrity guest? Not really, I presume.
Yeah, let's put her on the D or E list. We'll call her.
Okay, we'll start off with Rancic and work down from there.
That's it. Yeah, oh, we'd love to get him on,
don't
we?
But what a man. Beautiful player.
He is. One of our favourites. Should have played more last season, shouldn't he?
I think so. Agreed.
But we're on to episode 6 now. Next up, some real underachievers from the West Midlands. They were our 2002 playoff final opponents. It's the Blues of Birmingham. I think we were talking about Birmingham before recording this podcast, and we were thinking that they haven't really achieved a great deal, have they? They probably got less in the trophy cabinet than we have. And when you consider it's the second city, it's from a footballing hotbed. So you obviously got Wolverhampton and West Brom and Aston Villa, who have all achieved sort of significant honours in their histories. It's a strange one.
Yeah, a team I don't know a lot about, actually, Birmingham, when I think about it. There's not really particular moments spring to mind beyond the playoffs. I can't really remember them being a particularly successful top league.
No, I mean, they've certainly never won the league.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they've won the FA Cup. I don't think they have. Okay. I know they've been in the final.
Yeah, so as you say, for the second city with the population they've got around them, that's a bit of a surprise, actually. It's a big stadium as well, isn't it, St Andrews?
Yeah, it is. But a club that they've certainly had their low points over the last few decades. And again, I think they were quite close to going down last season.
Right.
I think they just finished a couple of places above the relegation zone. And they had, certainly in recent memories, they've been in the third tier. So, yeah, they're certainly a club that has had its fair share of struggles.
I think flirted with financial trouble recently as well, haven't they?
Yes.
Did they get done by FFP the year we went up? Did they get a point deduction?
They had that really bizarre episode where they had new owners come in and they got rid of, is it Gary Rowett?
That's right, yeah.
He was doing quite a good job and they sort of parachuted Gianfranco Sola in. And then I think they had a period with Harry Redknapp in, and it was quite strange, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sort of time for them, and you weren't quite sure what was going on at the club. It seemed like whether the owners just wanted a big name and were kind of just hoping for the best rather than building on what Gary Rowett had achieved in terms of getting them just on the verge of the playoffs.
Yeah, this is it. A couple of decent players I seem to remember them having in recent times. Was Che Adams, he was from Birmingham, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Obviously, the young lad who's gone to Germany, he retired his shirt.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. Bellingham, is it?
That's it. Yeah, I was a bit confused about retiring the shirt.
Me too. It's played 40-odd games for him. It seems a little... I mean, don't get me wrong, I hope the lad goes on to be an absolute world-class player, obviously. But
so he's got the potential, but...
Seems a bit premature at the moment.
Yeah, it's not like he's achieved that much at Birmingham, or like you say, it's not like he's been there for season after season after season.
10 years.
But, you know, it's their call. Do you remember the last games? So we played them on the opening day, championship winning season.
Oh, yeah.
The 2-2.
Yep. Hernandez got both, didn't he, Bruce?
He did, and the last one was in the last minute. Which is always good. I think that gives you an indication of the spirit within the club and the character that you need to be champions or to get promoted.
Agreed. And I think that typified the season, really, didn't it? That sort of never-say-die attitude. I think that was one of the three games at the beginning of the season we failed to win on, but actually played pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
I didn't see the game, and I know we came back from, was it 2-0 down, or did we go 1-1, 2-2? But
yeah, I can't remember the sort of sequence of goals.
We were never ahead of the game, I know that much. And but apparently played pretty well. I think we talked about this last podcast, about the fact that actually Preston was the first win of the season, but also probably a poorest performance out of like Sheffield and Birmingham, and I think the other one was West Brom. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, no, I think St Andrews, to get a point at St Andrews is always a positive. Yeah, Hernandez with the double. Quick word on Hernandez. Your thoughts on him as a player?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's, for a smaller guy, he's incredibly strong. I love the way he muscles in front of people. A lot of pace, a lot of ability, particularly in that championship-winning season. He produced the goods. He had an end product. And I think that's an important, maybe something with previous wingers we've had in recent times have maybe had all the skills, the ability there, but not quite been able to produce the final moments required. But he really did that season, and I think he would have made a difference, you know, this last season if he was fit. Obviously got that unfortunate injury. But yeah, he looks dangerous, direct. So I think he could be his season.
He was the only player that came out for any credit post lockdown, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, him and obviously Brundier always looks pretty good on the whole. But I think he was our best player, really.
Yeah.
Unfortunate with the offside decision against Man City. Well, it was ultimately the right decision, obviously.
Yeah, it'd be nice for him to score, wouldn't it?
It would have been nice just to have got a goal there. Yeah. But yeah, I think this could be his season. I've got high hopes for him, and also looking at his social media activities, and I know that that's to be taken with a pinch of salt, but he looks genuinely pleased to be a Norwich player, you know.
Yeah.
So that's great, and I really hope he does well.
Yeah, likewise, I'd second those comments. And that season, I don't know if you remember, we played them, it was on Sky, Friday Night Football, which has always got a nice touch to it. We beat them 3-1, and I think I watched this game, and I think we scored early, conceded straight away, and then took the lead again not long after conceding. I think Tommy Tribal scored a header that day.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're quite right. He did, yeah. I think
and had a good game, actually.
Yeah, I must admit, Tommy Tribal is a player I'm a little bit disappointed that has been told he can move on.
Yeah.
Obviously, we don't know at the moment whether he's here or not.
We don't know. he may have moved on a few weeks ago.
But we don't know at the moment, yeah. But
he's still with Norwich at point of recording this episode.
And unfortunately, he just didn't quite look up to the physicality of the Premier League. But yeah, I actually thought at times, like, I remember, like, that Birmingham game, Leeds away, Tommy Tribal was the man. He was absolutely run.
I liked games. Him.
You know, I think he's a good technical player and a good reader of the game. So, yeah, he played well. I think Che Adams scored for them. Yeah. Am I correct in saying? I think he turned Ben Godfrey, I think I remember.
Yeah.
Don't remember too much about the game, actually, other than I thought, because that was at the end of the Christmas period, where whilst we played quite well, we didn't come out with too many great results. I think.
Yeah, you're right. I've got the stat here, and this shows how important that win was. Actually, it ended a run of four Championship games without a win.
Yeah, and I think including in that was the Forest game, I presume, the 3-3.
It would have been Derby.
We lost 4-3, yeah.
And then we drew 1-1 with Brentford on the New Year's Day
fixture. Oh, I remember watching that. Yeah, we weren't very good at that either.
Nah. And I don't know what the other game was. So, yeah, we were saying the other day about how good we were in that season, and we were thinking, actually, we rocked it, and we can't remember a bad run. But that indicates that we did have a few minor sort of issues where we weren't picking up wins.
Yeah,
crucial to get that win. When you think, if we hadn't beaten Birmingham that night, you're five games without a win.
Yeah, that's.
And then we probably had Leeds coming up and Sheffield United, and it's pressure on, isn't it?
So I think I can remember at that moment, I presume we were about third in or maybe second in the league, actually, were we? I think Leeds was still top then.
Yeah,
we?
That sounds right.
And Leeds, I seem to remember, I'm doing this purely from memory, so this could be wrong, but I seem to remember Leeds being quite comfortable there at the top of the league, relatively. Well, that was at the start of their poor run, wasn't it? I remember we'd played quite well. I fought against Derby and actually Forest. There's actually as great as that three goals in the last five minutes or whatever it was, great as that was, I remember coming out of the game not being quite as happy as everyone else, because I thought, you know what, we should have destroyed them that day.
Yeah.
But that was really was 2 points dropped. Fantastic comeback, and really highlighted the character and the never say die attitude we had that season, but should have walked it. So that was an important win, but I felt it was quite a regulation win against Birmingham. I remember coming out of that game thinking, yeah, we went
standard,
a lot better.
Yeah.
That one, was it Jota they had then? I thought it looked, I can't remember what, a Portuguese guy they had, I thought it looked really decent.
Yeah. Yeah, they were, I think they, were they, did they finish sort of mid-table that season? I think they were one of those sides that potentially you could, they could get something against the best sides, but
yeah, and I'm sure they
just lacked consistency, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And so that really, because then I think our next home game was Sheffield United after that, and it, we drew 2-2, I believe.
Yeah.
And at the time...
Fantastic game. I was lucky enough to go to that one. And
yeah.
I remember that game had the feel of a Premier League game. It had the quality.
Yeah.
Two great sides.
Yeah.
A cracking atmosphere.
It really was. And yeah. I don't think we quite knew at the time that there were the two teams going up.
No.
But that was the start of... That Birmingham game was the start of us really clicking into gear, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're right. So, yeah, two important games that season. But the biggest game, Norwich versus Birmingham, does any spring to mind?
There was a certain playoff final.
Yes, 2002.
Yes.
Girl, that's a long time ago now, isn't it?
It really was.
Norwich's first experience in the playoffs, and what an absolute joy it was, knocking Wolves out in the semis. And then, yeah, I'd say the biggest game since the days of the European UEFA Cup run. Did you go? You did, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
I thought you'd gone.
I missed that one, unfortunately. At the time, I wasn't a season ticket holder.
Yeah.
I was a member, but I believe it was sort of not pre-internet, obviously, but it was like the days where to get a ticket, you had to go and queue up for hours outside the ground, and I had to work, so I couldn't do that, unfortunately. A number of my friends did and had a fantastic day.
I met most of them, I think.
Twins.
Yeah, I met them, and I met quite a few people, actually. So I was fortunate enough to get a ticket.
Yeah.
It was such a... You know, there's certain games you go to and you can sense the occasion.
Yeah.
And it had a real cup final feel to it. I think being in the Millennium Stadium made a difference. Have you been to the Millennium Stadium?
No, I've not, no.
So it's smack bang in the centre of Cardiff.
Yeah.
You've seen it on TV, obviously. It's a massive, impressive arena. It was so well organised. I remember you came off the motorway and there were signs saying if you're Birmingham, it directed you this way. If you're Norwich, it directed you that way. And it took you into car parks.
Yeah.
And they'd basically done almost drawn a line through the centre of Cardiff. And they said, okay, all the pubs on this side of the line are Norwich pubs. All the pubs on this side of the line. So really well organised.
Yeah.
Very, very impressive. I don't know if you remember the game itself. It was a classic cup final in that it failed to live up to expectation. It was quite nervy.
Yeah. I remember it being, fairly... Was it 0-0 at full-time?
It was 0-0 at full-time. Not a lot. I can't remember really any chances, particularly.
So I made the mistake of watching this in my mum and dad's front room with Andy Smith.
Okay.
And my mate Simon, who's an Ipswich fan. So it wasn't a great way to watch the game. I remember you and Roberts nodding it in just into... extra time.
And here's a question for you. Do you remember who provided the assist? He didn't really feature much for Norwich.
I was going to say Paul McVeigh, but obviously not. I don't then.
I think he was called Alex Notman.
Oh, really? Alex Notman, yeah.
Yeah, he came from Manchester United.
That's right, and he broke his leg playing against Ipswich, didn't he?
Finished his career, got a bad injury.
Yeah.
I remember the goal well. It was at the other end of the stadium from where we were. Diving header, wasn't it, I think?
I remember it being a header. Yeah. I can't remember too much more than that. So it was the roof was closed, wasn't it?
I think so.
So was the noise light in there compared to New Wembley?
Comparable. Yeah. I can't recall whether the roof made that much difference in terms of the atmosphere or the game itself. Yeah, it was just a fantastic occasion. I remember their equaliser, Jeff Horsfield, equaliser.
Just after Daryl Such came on, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, and more about poor Daryl later. What did you think when it went to pens?
You know what? I think penalties they're fantastic. If either you're a neutral or you happen to be in a winning team, if you lose, it's the worst way to do it, isn't it? It's a horrible way to lose.
Yeah, it is.
I wasn't confident either. I didn't really think we had a number of players on the side was confident. No. We'd score.
Yeah, as soon as they walked up to the Birmingham end as well, you thought.
Yeah, that's not a good sign. But obviously, I was lucky enough to be at the Tottenham game this year.
He likes to rub that in.
Yeah. Which is fantastic. So that is maybe the only time, obviously, England in 2018.
Yeah.
But that's definitely the only time I've actually been at a stadium where I've seen my team win penalties.
And funny enough, I was actually a lot more confident before that one than I was before this player final one, whether that because there was more at stake in the player final or... Like you say, the players we had on the pitch. I mean, Tim Krul is obviously an expert at penalties. As much as I think he's a fantastic keeper, I think Rob Green didn't have a great record in terms of penalties.
Could pass, yeah. I'll take your advice on that one. I don't really remember. I don't really remember him saving much penalties, to be fair. So
saved a lot of stuff. He was a great...
Oh, great keeper, yeah, but not in terms of penalties, yeah.
So Phil Mulryan and, Daryl Such missed. And Birmingham went for it. It was their first time, actually, in the Premier League. So they'd been some years away from the top flight. So a fantastic day, fantastic experience, but quite a tough way to end it. To be fair, though, they did win both the league games that season. I think they finished fourth, so some points ahead of us in sixth.
We weren't spectacular that season either, were we?
No.
We scraped in the playoffs on goal difference.
In the last day. You know, fair play to them. Obviously, their manager was Norwich City Hall of Famer, Steve Bruce.
Yes.
So I think every Norwich fan's got a soft spot for Steve Bruce. Time for you to have your five-minute nap now, because we're going back to 71-72. And it was a good year for both of us, because we both got promoted from the second division that season, so into Division One. For us, it was our first ever promotion into Division One. I think Birmingham had been there before. They drew at Carrow Road that season, and they inflicted our biggest defeat. They beat us 4-0 at St Andrews. So they won the head-to-head, but we won the league. They joined us in Division One as runners-up. Looking at that league, it's actually quite a tight race. We finished 1 point clear of them, but only 3 points clear of fourth place QPR. And I was thinking, when you look back at our promotions, actually, most of them seem to be like we were quite comfortable. And there was never, I can't remember any being decided on the last game of the season or, you know. We always seem to be 5, 6, 7 points clear.
In recent times, the only one I remember being close was the Birmingham playoff. That was the only time I remember actually struggling. That was tight to get in, literally. Last game of the season, goal difference. Everything else we've done, obviously League One, Championship promotions, they've all been comfortable.
Yeah, I suppose the Lambert Championship promotion was probably the second tightest one. I don't know how clear we were of Cardiff in the end.
Yeah, that was tight going into the last two games, but we secured it. And so that when we played Coventry last game of the season, it was party time, we promoted, it was done. So it wasn't a nervous finish.
Yeah. I had a look at how we both performed the following year. So Birmingham may have been runners up, but they actually finished 10th in Division One the next season, compared to our 20th. So a little bit of the Sheffield United syndrome there. They actually went on to perform a lot better than us. But that seems to be the way it goes, doesn't it? Where you finish or how you get promoted doesn't necessarily transmit to how you're going to perform the following season.
Was that relegation season or was that...
No, we actually stayed up.
So there's 24 teams, obviously.
No, there was only two teams got relegated.
Right, okay. Then.
So we stayed up on default, so I think we finished third bottom.
Right, okay. Fair enough, Fair play.
Sticking in the dim and distant past, 1982-83, we're both in the top flight again. And how's this for a couple of results? We've beaten them 5-1 at home and 4-0 away. So that's an aggregate of 9-1.
Do we beat another team 5-1 and 4-0 in a season?
Well, it's funny you should say that. So I was trying to see how we got a bigger aggregate win in the top flight than that. And you're right, we beat Everton 5-1 away during the Mike Walker days.
Yeah.
But we beat them 3-0 at home. So that's obviously an 8-1 aggregate. So that's one lower. We beat Watford 6-1 in the top flight. But again, that came out at a 9-2 aggregate. So I'd find it hard to believe we've got a better aggregate win in the top division. Mostly, it'd be the reverse.
Yeah.
Of that.
Yeah.
And then another little oddity. This will take you back. FA Cup. We had four third-round FA Cup ties against them in 1985 in the third round. So you're not going to get that. You can imagine the uproar if this happened.
Yeah.
This day. So we had a 0-0, a 1-1, another 1-1, and then a 1-0. So we played, I don't know when the first game was, but we played again on the 23rd of Jan, again on the 26th of Jan, again on the 28th of Jan. We eventually got past them. And by that stage, the fourth round was a couple of days later, and then we went and lost 2-1 to West Ham. So, but can you imagine four FA Cup, third round FA Cup games?
I mean, it's hard to imagine that any replays are going to be featured much longer. I mean, obviously, I'm a fan of replays.
I was going to ask you, where do you stand on FA Cup replays?
I mean, the problem is this very big. This thing about becoming very Premier League centric, isn't there, in football? But actually, ultimately, taking, you know, Man United back to your place, if you're Yorktown or something, that's a great result, and that's part of the beauty of the cup. And so I'm all for them. And
I think they're being scrapped this season.
They are this season, yeah. Because of the virus.
Yeah.
I'm in favour of them. I think they should stay. Not infinite amount. I think one replay is enough, and then go on to penalties, whatever you want to do.
You don't want to see a return to four games to get through.
No, I mean, I don't see how it could happen. I can't see how you could fit it in the fixtures these days.
No, although they fitted it in the fixtures back then.
Yeah, I don't understand why. What's changed?
And I don't know for sure, but I bet you that it was full strength sides in every game.
Yeah, I mean, that's also true. I mean, the FA Cup was more serious then than it is now, unfortunately, much as I do love it. I mean, my personal solution is to scrap international friendlies. I don't see the point in them. Get rid of them.
Yeah, even though they've tried to sort of like, they've gone for this sort of UEFA league now to try and put a bit of competitiveness onto the friendlies, but it's still not quite.
It was quite interesting when we thought we were going to get to the final, but then we got turned over by the Netherlands, and we're like, oh, I'm actually more right for these as well. I'm not really bothered. No, that's true. So, definitely replays. I think they're great lifeblood for the footballing pyramid, and all part of the excitement of the competition.
Yeah. Again, I agree with your points there. Do you remember this one? We had the 2004-2005 season in the Premier League.
Yeah.
We had that great late run, actually. I don't know if you recall. We beat Manchester United, and that really kicked off. We were dead and buried. And
yeah, I remember
We had a great run. And our last home game of the season, 7th of May 2005, we beat Birmingham 1-0 that day.
I was there for that. There was a genuine vibe that the Great Escape was on.
Yeah.
It was because I don't actually think we'd been in the relegation zone significantly that season until basically the last game, had we? We were always pegged on for relegation.
We were actually, no, we were rock bottom when we played Manchester United.
Oh, okay. So I'm remembering incorrectly.
Yeah.
I remember what the Man United game, though, as Ashton and McKenzie, wasn't it, scored? Or did it score two?
Yeah, it was 2-0. It's just one of those absolute fantastic occasions at Carrow Road in, I think they were, I don't know, they didn't go on to win this. I think that year Chelsea won the league, but United were still crammed full of top quality players. I think, I know that Ronaldo was playing, Rooney was playing, they had Ferdinand, Scholes.
Yeah.
You know,
Magic
where do you
Scholes.
Stop?
Yeah, brilliant. Giggs.
Yeah, Giggs, he would have been there, wouldn't he? And it was just so unexpected. And it literally breathed life back into the season. And do you know who scored our winner that day?
Against Birmingham? I don't remember.
Well, if you're going to hazard a guess, you'd go for Dean Ashton.
You would, Dean. Or McKenzie. But it was Ashton, wasn't
it? It was Ashton, yeah. Heskey hit the bar late on, so maybe things were going for us. Just a waste in the end, because it actually put us in the driving seat going into the final game, which is all you can ask, isn't it?
Yeah, we just needed to, we needed to win and we'd be safe.
Yeah,
it's in our hands.
It didn't matter what would happen. So, we beat Birmingham that day, but it wasn't to be. Just finishing off, there's one game worth a quick mention. It was Daniel Farke's first season and we beat them 2-0 on Boxing Day 2017. And this was Jamal Lewis's debut. And it was actually a really important win. We'd sort of slipped down. I don't know if you realised how close we got to the relegation zone at that point.
So I don't actually remember the game, but I would have been there on Boxing Day.
Oh, this was away.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I wouldn't have been there.
No chance.
Yeah. No, so I do remember that season. So I remember, obviously, during that period where we won away at Ipswich, things started to look like they're coming together and we looked like a decent side. And we kind of started heading up towards the playoff positions without really, I don't know if we broke into them, we might have just sort of nicked in there.
Yeah.
But then things started falling apart again. Yeah, I do remember.
Yeah,
that.
You're right. I remember we had a series of sort of 1-0 wins in sort of October, November with Madison scoring pretty much every game. And then the wheels fell off a bit. And I think we were properly under pressure going into that game. So I think they were struggling. And fair play to Daniel Falk throwing Jamal Lewis in.
Yeah.
Big game.
So what I remember about that is Jamal Lewis, I think they didn't get a replacement. Was it after Martin Olsen had left? Obviously it was after he'd left. Yeah. But I think we didn't really replace him because we had Jamal Lewis in mind, but he got injured, didn't he, early in the season? And I think Stiepelman deputised at left back and got a lot of slack, actually, from the fans at times for not being a particularly great player. But then he was just clearly played out of position. It was just clearly doing a job. And, Jamal Lewis came in and has been brilliant ever since, really.
Yeah, no, he has. So, yeah, that game, big win, actually, at St Andrews. That, again, it makes you wonder if we'd lost that. I think we played Burton afterwards and we got a pretty dismal 0-0 draw up there. And
that's right.
Before you know it, if you're sucked into that relegation scrap in the running, who knows what history could have been different, you know?
Yeah, you're quite right. And we weren't a million miles away from relegation that season. But like I say, I was quite pleased how we played that season. I thought we were doing all right. Well, not doing all right. I thought the foundations we were laying were promising. And that turned out to be the case, obviously. But yeah, that season could have gone either way.
Yeah, it swung really on that game, I'd say. That win took the pressure off to an extent, and we were comfortably up into the mid-table area. So
good.
What are you going to go for on the score prediction for this one?
I think we're hitting our straps. I think home against Birmingham, I'm going to go 3-0. I'm feeling confident. One thing I have actually noticed is I've predicted quite a lot of clean sheets for Norwich, which obviously is entirely inaccurate, but I think I'm going 3-0.
Well, I'm going to go for a clean sheet as well, but I'm going to go for a 1-0. It's going to be one of those classic tight, we play well, score, and then probably come under a bit of late pressure but hold out to see the win over the line.
So well, we'll take any 3 points we can.
We would. So, thank you for your contributions again, Phil.
Thank you very much.
And we'll be back soon. So thank you and goodbye.
Thank you very much.